Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We always appreciate getting the latest from 1265 with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today? Morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you? Good, good, good. So yesterday we had a lengthy conversation about the Packers' need to add to the wide receiver group. What breadcrumbs are you following on this storyline? What do you think is going to happen with that position group this offseason? Will the Packers address it in the draft? Will Brian Gutekunst do what he did with Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and go out and get a guy? What do you think happens with the wide receiver situation?
Yeah, I think they draft a guy. I thought one of Goody's answers, and I can't remember who asked, I think it was Pete Doherty from the Press Gazette, asked him what his philosophy is on trading a high draft pick for a proven player. And he went into kind of the follow-up question I thought was pretty clearly about Davante Adams, frankly, even though the person didn't say that. But he basically said that he didn't want to... The problem with acquiring a player who is already established, here, I'll read you the quote. Well, you better be right, you know, because those picks are, and I'm assuming you're talking about a veteran player, right? When you trade a high pick for a veteran player, you're trading a young, really good contract for a player who is proven, but is probably expensive. So you're giving up a pick and salary cap space. I think you've got to weigh that. And if it's the right player, if you feel like he can be a dynamic player who can change your football team, I think you've got to consider that because there's not many of those guys out there. I think you've also got to understand what you're giving up. That's kind of my philosophy. So that doesn't sound to me like someone who's eager to do that. Now, I know there's been some conjecture about DK Metcalf, and it's coincidental, not ironic because I'm not Alanis Morissette, that later on we were talking about the draft, and I asked him, you know, look, you've had three really good drafts in a row, but like, did you know all along that if you picked Edger and Cooper, he was going to thrive the way he did? I said, you traded back, I think, twice last year, and you still ended up with Jaden Reed. And I said, so is there an element of luck involved? And he tells the story of, in the second round of the 2019 draft, when they drafted Elgton Jenkins, he said, we had like five or six guys with DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, there are a bunch of guys right there. A couple of them went ahead of us. We could have moved back. We didn't. We took Elgton, and that's been a great pick for us. So the fact that he mentioned DK Metcalf, obviously they must have been interested in him, right? Because you don't bring up him and Deebo Samuel as the examples of guys that you were interested in when you ended up taking Elgton. So I see the breadcrumbs. Again, I think that answer about trading a pick tells me that he's far more disinclined to do that than inclined to do that.
Is that just an early pick? Is that a later pick? Would it be at all possible that if the Packers were interested, because, I mean, I don't think you're trading a high draft pick at this point for Devontae. I think he's just going to be straight up released based on his cap number. You know, so I think we're talking about one of the potential pass rushers that may or may not be available. Would there be any chance that Mark Murphy would intervene and say, hey, can we at least give this a second thought? Because I worked so hard to get the draft here, and I'd like to make a pick on that first night.
Yeah, that's a great question. As you were putting that question together, I was thinking the same thing. Do you really want to not have the first round pick on the first night of the draft?
Because this is, I mean, this is basically Ted's, not Ted's, excuse me. This is basically Mark's retirement party. Like this has been his baby, and then this is basically the last big thing the Packers have before he rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, and it is really Ted Thompson. I mean, if you've watched Enigma, he also was responsible for the Packers picking Jordan Love. So clearly, he should also get credit. And nobody loves Ted more than me. So let's give him credit for the draft coming too, and maybe a few other things. Look, I think that's a really good point, Gabe. Again, I don't know, you know, who Goody views as worthy of giving that up. Right? Like, is Max Crosby, who is, I think, 27 right now, I think he'd be 28 by opening day, so he's still in kind of that age range, is that someone that Goody would be willing to give up a draft pick for? Obviously, Myles Garrett, who I think is 29. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, even 8 years into this with Goody, what exactly he's willing to do. Now, I should go back to that answer that he gave about trading a high pick and point out that he said, I don't think we've done that very often, not just during his time, but even before that. And I think he's right. Like, you know, this is a give up a conditional seventh for Malik Willis type team. This is not a give up a first. And then he even had a zinger at the end. He said, we've gotten a few first round picks. Which I thought was also interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a remote possibility. I never say never, obviously, because then you end up looking like a complete moron on the radio. But I don't think it's likely. And I also think this, like, you know, when we talked to him, because I asked him very directly about the number one wide receiver. Somebody else asked it first. Then I said, okay, so then do you need a wide receiver to elevate and be the guy? And I went through that lineage from Sharp all the way down to Devontae, and then, you know, who was their number one after that? 22, it was like Alan Lazard. 23 and 24, I guess statistically it was Jaden Reed, but, you know, and I really like Jaden Reed. I think he can be more than he's been. I think he's got a really diverse skill set, but he certainly hasn't performed or produced like a number one wide receiver, and they have not tried to make him one. But my point was, is that, you know, these other teams that, and it's worked out for some, right? I mean, the Eagles traded for AJ Brown, et cetera, et cetera. But how many of these Packers number one wide receivers were outside acquisitions? Zero, right? They all, you know, developed and evolved into that guy. And even Goody's answer, you know, he was trying to argue that in 9 and 10, you know, Driver was still on the roster. He said Jennings would probably have to be the number one if you had to say there was one. Jordy was emerging. He brought up how James Jones was. Like, I think his vision is more like that. And the hope would be that someone would kind of become that Greg Jennings. Now, I think it's worth pointing out that does that calculus change when you don't know when you're going to have Christian Watson back, right? I mean, November, Tausch was giving me a hard time saying I was pretending to be a doctor, but, I mean, the guy tore his ACL in the last game of the season, which was, what, January 5th?
Mm-hmm.
And had not had surgery as of last week when we asked Goody. And that puts him on T.J. Hockenson's timeline. T.J. Hockenson had his ACL tear repaired, and he may have had less other damage than Watson has. On January 29th of 2024, and he was back in the Vikings lineup November 17th-ish, and I don't think as good of a player as he is, he runs as fast as Christian Watson. So, you know, they're not going to have Christian Watson until mid-November at the earliest, I would think, which means does that also change how you view the idea of acquiring a wide receiver?
And I think there's a possibility he doesn't play at all this season, Jason. But then how do I, as a fan, take the information you just gave us of, okay, you know, Goody's probably not going to be super aggressive in trading for somebody, but he also mentioned the sense of urgency that he thinks this team needs to have. How do I marry those two thoughts together?
Yeah, I don't think he's talking about him. I think he's talking about young players who have most of their careers still ahead of them. And I think he, as much as he loves all the talent he's accumulated, as much as he loves the kind of guys they are, he always talks about how we want guys who love football. I think he's got the right type, and he said he feels he's got the right type of guys. But, you know, And again, I don't know if we have any sort of parallels in our careers because, you know, those of us that did not play in the NFL on the panel, you know, we all had ambitions, right? We wanted to work our way up in whatever it was, whether it was Jen early in her TV career or me as a writer or you on the radio side. And I don't know if once you've made it to the NFL, you certainly have goals, but you've made it to the top of your field. And I got the sense that his message when he said that was more, you know, hey, we've had success, but there's maybe this kind of mentality of, okay, it would have been really nice to win it, but we're all young. We got one of the youngest teams in the league. And I'm talking about players thinking this way. You know, I've got more time. I'm just getting started, right? The window is just opening. And I think his point was is that, you know, things happen. And again, I don't want to put words in his mouth. This is just how I interpreted it. But like, you know, you could have a year next year like the Lions had with injuries, right? Like the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Jordan. Right? So Jordan Love missed some time this year, no doubt. They had a couple of other critical injuries. But let's be honest. The Packers' fortune, basically until the playoff game when they lose Elgton Jenkins and, you know, they might as well put in LaTroy Guy on at left guard. They were, and Tausch is going to say nobody's going to get that reference.
No, that's a good pop. That's a good reference. Hey, every once in a while, Jason, you just got to throw it out there just to make sure everybody's listening.
But my point is that, you know, you're not guaranteed that next year you're going to have the same kind of good fortune. And even if you have a bunch of guys that are coming into their own and are really ready to pop, your season could be derailed by something completely unforeseen. And you're not, you know, then there's always next year suddenly changes. And let's remember that all those guys in the 2022 class, you know, I think we talked about this last week. Goody certainly talked as if Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt will be getting their fifth-year options. But Dobbs, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Christian Watson, all those guys are in contract years. They're not going to pay all of them. And so we're getting to the point now where the beauty of having a young roster, going back to those young, inexpensive contracts, is starting to mature into a, all right, what are we going to do next? And I thought it was also telling that when we were talking about the cap space they're going to have and their ability to operate in the free agent space, he made it very clear that, look, we also have to have money to – we have some pretty good young players on rookie contracts that we're going to want to keep. And so, you know, I'm not saying – this is certainly better than being the team that's $40 million over the cap or the team that they were in 2023 when they were sitting with a $41 million cap charge for the quarterback they didn't want anymore. And this is certainly better. But that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges that come with their situation. And so do you really want to go out taking this full circle and the Bengals franchise, they can franchise tag T. Higgins again, can they? Or,
oh, yeah.
Or did they franchise? So do you really want to go out and then pay the kind of premium that the Raiders paid you for Devontae to get T. Higgins and then to pay him? Or DK Metcalf wouldn't cost probably quite as much? Like, those are the questions that I think that they're really facing, and I'm eager to see what approach he takes.
J. Jason, I'm hesitant to even dive into this since we have absolutely annihilated the clock and Chewy's not even here this morning, so he has that going for him.
Still his fault.
But I do want to ask your opinion on the Ben Johnson comments yesterday when he was introduced as the Bears' new head coach. Josh, you go ahead and play those for us.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
What the what? What the? What the? Okay, well, now I can tell that you're exaggerating your response.
No, come on. That's a genuine laugh.
No, but I have a question. Did their paths cross? Am I missing something here? Did they work together? So this is bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is. It is because...
It's not that bizarre.
Well, go ahead, Gabe.
It's not that bizarre, guys.
It's just
every head coach, whoever decides that they're going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears, they got to mention the Packers. This is a tradition unlike
Packers,
any other.
Gabe, he didn't mention the Packers.
Correct. I think there's the
and
nuance
that's what's
there.
Weird about this.
Yep.
Is that he takes a shot at the coach? I mean, he at no point like it's one thing to be lovey and get up there and say, our number one priority is to beat the Packers. Which, by the way, you know, Lovie Smith took some grief for that when he initially said it. But the reasoning behind it, as he later explained, is, look, if we're going to win the division, we got to beat the Packers. And if we win the division, it gives us a better chance. It puts us in the playoffs, and it gives us a chance at a home game. And it gives us a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl, which, by the way, Lovie Smith did in 2006. And so while Lovie Smith said that, he had a reason for it. And I don't know at all. I've been debating whether to text LaFleur and ask him if there's any history between these two. But yeah, I don't get it. It was just awkward and it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions. It makes me start to wonder, like, is Matt LaFleur not well liked amongst other coaches? I mean, we know he has the kind of bromance with the Salas and the McVays and the Shanahan to varying degrees over the years. But
it's like half the league.
Yeah, exactly. But it just made me wonder, like, is there something I'm missing here about Matt LaFleur and his relationship with me? Or is this a Dan Campbell thing? Is this a Campbell versus LaFleur and Ben Johnson as a disciple of Dan Campbell sort of just followed that line? I don't know. I got a lot of it's very intriguing to me. I don't know if it's as simple. And maybe Gabe is right. Maybe this is Occam's razor here. Maybe it is as simple as he's the coach of the Packers, he's the coach of the Bears. It's like the Montagues and the Capulets. You know, you have to hate each other.
Awkwardly tried to take a shot at the Packers.
It's just not funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'll continue
to investigate. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you taking the time today.
All right,
taking all the time, guys. You two just going back and forth and back and forth, and now it's 7:40 and everything is...
I had questions.
I guess so.
I needed answers.
All right, go ahead.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years. And for the last 15, right here in Milwaukee, they offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment with your business in mind. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.